Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So we go to the screen on the board, and here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Let Love Be Without Hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 9 through 15. Are we ready? Here we go, starting with verse 9, and it reads, there it is. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Wow, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, which is vital. That's the lifeline of the church. Prayer, amen? Look at verse 13 here. Distributing to the needs of the what? Of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not what? Curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. Amen. Amen. So we got a lot to chew on right here. So let's move on to verse 9. And here we go. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So as we transition from the last chapter where God showed us that the disobedience of Israel, He had to set aside so that He could come after us Gentiles to save us. Amen. But now as He is ministering, Paul the Apostle to the Roman church, He's ministering to now us Gentiles. Because at one time, we lived a rude and a rebellious lifestyle, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We didn't know how to love without hypocrisy. That's right. We knew how to be really good tale-bearers, like tattletales, tell me your secret, and the whole world knows about your secret. You know how we once rolled? And then it says, abhor what is evil. Meaning, this day and age that we live in, a lot of things are evil. Can I get an amen on that? There's things that you can't watch on TV no more. There's movies you can't even go to no more. There are so many things that we have to reject in the day and time that we live in. And then he goes on to say, cling to what is good. What is good? What is good? Well, we're going to see in the Word of God, what is good? Cling to what is good. So the key ingredient, saints of God, is enter. I want you to catch this word. Interpersonal relationships in love. That means God's love, which is agape. Did you know there's a lot of forms of love, but the highest form is agape love. Yeah. Agape love means unconditional love. Can you truly love someone unconditionally, or do you put conditions on their love? Yes. It's tough, isn't it? And so this kind of love is a self-sacrificial love, the kind that Jesus went to the cross for. He denied himself. And he died for you and I. It was sacrificial love for mankind, for us, so that we can have this wonderful salvation. And it's a love that cares for the well-being of others. Do you care for others to truly be healed and set free and their needs are met, or do we just walk right by them and we don't care? Well, let's look what the Word of God says, found in 1 John chapter 4. Look at this. 1 John 4 and 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, what is the Word of God says? I'm glad God's Word says this. He's a what?
Liar.
He's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Woo! Man. That sometimes brings conviction to us, doesn't it? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Can I get an amen to that? You see, my friends, all the gifts that are exercised in the body should be expressed in love. Can I get an amen? When we lay hands on the sick, because we love that person and we want to see that person well. If we minister to someone, we minister in love. Did you know that even a rebuke is in love? And it's not to criticize, but it's to build up. It's to refrain from what's tormenting that soul, or they're leading a wrong path. And sometimes you bring a rebuke, but it's to help them. It's not condemnation. You're not condemning them. You see, I'd rather get a rebuke from God than get a word from Satan that condemns you. There's a difference. A mighty difference. And to hate what is wrong means turning toward what is good and clinging to it. Cling to what's good. Listen, the Word of God is good. The elders and the deacons and the ministers of your church, there, wherever you attend, need to be good. Can I get amen? And you should learn to trust them. Praise God. Because God placed them there.
That's right.
To minister to the body of Christ. And so, my friends, this principle is practiced when we are able to detest an evil act while practicing compassion toward the one who has done it. Listen, there are times when God will chastise someone even without anything spoken to them. Because God will bring the conviction. Can I get amen?
Right.
And you'll know it's from God. Because you'll have a conviction and not a condemnation.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. So believers must always be careful that the use of their gifts does not lead them to unloving or evil motives or attitudes or actions. Now, listen, you may be having a bad day. Things may go wrong that day, or maybe not having a good day at work, or maybe a family member that you may be quarreling with. But that should not permeate in your heart to spend the rest of that day in agony. Can I get amen? We are to defer all that to God. And when we come to the household of God, we are to come and rejoice and to say, God, thank you for another day. Despite of what went wrong that day. Because it's only one day. We only get one day at a time. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. He gives us today. And so, let's move on to verse 10 of Romans chapter 12. Here we go. Look at this. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. So this is not an option. This is what? An admonishment from the Apostle Paul that this is how we should conduct ourselves on a daily basis. Not just because I feel like I need to do this. Is that God expects us to operate like this, affectionate to one another, with brotherly love. Meaning that you are the brother and the sister of Christ. We are to show each other love. Can I get amen? Because the world doesn't show us true love. But we do, because we got the Holy Spirit living in us. If you've been truly transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, you ought to be demonstrating that love to one another. Amen? You see, Paul's charge goes against the value of rugged individualism. The attitude of doing it all myself. We need each other. We need help at times, because if we think we can do it all by ourselves, we got it wrong. Guess what? It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about us together doing something in the unity of Christ. Believers, saints of God, are to show brotherly love to fellow believers and respect all the gifted people in the church, not just those whose gifts are visible. Did you know there are people in the church may not come up here and lay hands and all that, but they're valuable to God.
That's right.
Some are quiet intercessory prayer warriors. Seriously, they are. Some are. And we are to what? Acknowledge that. Lift them up. And say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Look what I found in Philippians 2 right up here, to correlate with verse 10. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. In other words, we can't be big-headed about this. Amen?
That's right.
But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You know what? I want to see your life go further than mine. I want to see you grow further than me. Whatever I've obtained, I want to see you grow even bigger. This is what this means. It means die to self and help others grow. Help them get to that place where they need to be in the kingdom of God. And there's rewards for that God blesses you for that. Look at verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of who?
Others.
You and I. Saints, the only way the body of Christ can function effectively and make a positive impact on the unbelieving world is to do exactly what we are conveying tonight. And so the Greek word for genuine affection pictures the type of loyalty and affection that family members have for one another. And we should be operating in agape love. Can I get amen? It's the kind of love, saints of God, that allows for weaknesses and imperfections, communicates, deals with problems. Because guess what? Every one of us deal with problems on a day-to-day basis. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Things rise up. Things that you would have never have known that happened that day happens. And so God is saying, how are you going to handle it? Are you going to freak out? Or are you going to just give it to me and let me give you the peace that surpasses all understanding so that I can help you through this day? How many need help every day from God? I do. I know you do too. You see, God's command for us to delight in honoring each other involves agape love. And not just for our immediate family, but our brothers and sisters in Christ. Guess what? Even the ones, I know this is hard to say, but we have blood relatives that need to see our love too. Can I get an amen?
Yeah, they do.
They do.
They do.
Because you know why? They found out that the world don't love them. And they don't think that God loves them because they don't have a relationship with God. But we have the relationship with God, so we need to love them so they can see Christ, the hope of glory in us. That will cause them to be jealous on what we got. Notice this. We want to provoke them to jealousy so that they could go after the things that we have. Well, if you're talking about Jesus, I love God, man. You know what? God loves you. And when they see you bubbly and cheerful, you know that's infectious? They want that too. They may not show you they want it, but they want that. They need it. And God uses us to reach out to those kind of folks. Could be blood family, could be friends, could be co-workers, could be acquaintances. It don't matter. So as Christians, we honor people because they are what? What are they created in? What are people created in? God's image. That's right. That's right, Pastor. God's image. And because they're our brothers and our sisters in Christ, and because they have a unique contribution to make Christ's church, we need to always help to build them up. Amen? Look what Paul also wrote in Ephesians regarding this verse. submitting to one another in the fear of God. Listen, if we learn to submit to one another in the love of God, in the fear of God, God will help us through issues of life. Did you know I need you as much as you need me? We need each other.
Yeah.
We're not a one-man show. We're not on an island by ourselves. We need each other. It strengthens us. Lets me know that you got my back and I got your back. And whatever you need, here I am. Here I am. Look what Peter wrote right here in 1 Peter. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through what? Through the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, then it says love one another fervently with a what?
Pure heart.
Never let it be that there's an agenda why you love someone or a wrong motive. You love them because Christ loves them.
Yeah.
And if Christ loves them, then we learn to love them like Christ loves them. Amen? That's all there is to it. There should be never an agenda to that. But other than the pure love of God. And watch them grow. Watch them go from here to there. And from there to here. And then they're going to soar like an eagle. And so God does the work. We just need to be vessels that will be used by Him. How many want to be used by God? Amen. Every one of us does. And those of you, we want to also welcome Facebook and YouTube. But for those of you that are watching right now, He wants to use you too. Nobody's exempt. Amen. So let's move on to verse 11 of chapter 12 in the book of Romans. And it reads, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, notice, serving the Lord. So my love for you, your love for me, building each other up. We're not serving, we're helping one another, but guess what that demonstration is actually doing? It's serving the Lord. Because that's how God wants us to now operate. He wants to operate in His love. And so when we do that, we're serving Him. We're saying, God, we're doing this for the glory of God. And then that person will go from A to Z. And be built up. And so as believers who serve the Lord with enthusiasm, it follows that we would never want to be lazy. No one wants to be lazy. Amen?
Yeah.
When they see you on fire for God, man, they don't see no lazy. They see you, man, as a spark plug for Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what I want to be known of. I don't know about you, but I want to be known that if you call me, I'll be there for you.
That's right.
We need to be there for one another. Can I get amen? Oh, here's so and so. I'm not picking that up. Oh, here comes so and so. Honey, close the blinds. Muzzle the dog. I'm not here. Shh, I'm not here. Come on.
Mercy, God.
Woo, Jesus, help us. Look what I found in Colossians to correlate with this verse of Scripture. Look at this. Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as who?
As the
to the Lord and not to men. See, when we serve one another, it's because we're serving the Lord. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Listen, if you... Listen, some of you may have a giant bank account, and some of you may only have $10 in there. Okay? But what God is storing in heaven for you, listen, I'd rather have what God is storing for me, what He's storing for you, than Mr. Elon Musk money. And he's the richest man in the world.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Yeah.
What God has for us goes into through and throughout eternity. His money stays here. I just saw in a post, he's worth now $302 billion. You can keep it all. It's okay. And I hope you help mankind. But more so, Mr. Musk, I hope you find Jesus.
That's right.
I hope you learn to know Him. Because that's all that matters at the end of this day, is that we know Jesus. Amen? But look at that. It says right here. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve who? The Lord Christ. And so Paul's not advocating for the activity's sake. No. Rather, we should consistently use our spiritual gifts to serve one another, to serve the body of Christ. Did you know that we've been called and we've been challenged and God has equipped us for serving the Lord? Look what it says in Ephesians. With good will doing service as to who? The Lord, and not to men. So we see that in Ephesians. We just saw that in Colossians. So there's a theme here. Paul is conveying this and making his point wherever he goes that whatever we do, we're doing it for the Lord.
That's right.
Listen, fatigue will set in at times, and we'll get tired. And so I've seen some of us, you know, we toiled all night. We come in here at 10. Sometimes some of us are doing this. I get it. Sometimes we get fatigued. That's okay. But guess what? That should not prevent you from serving the Lord. Amen?
That's right.
There are times where I just shake my head and wake me up, Lord. I'm here to serve you, to praise you, to glorify you, to magnify you. I just start thinking on him. And then he changes my outlook. Christians must fight. I'm serious. This is, how many know it's a spiritual fight? And we need to fight the spiritual darkness of discouragement, depression, negativity, and must do our utmost to try to keep our spiritual temperature at a high level. Why? Because the enemy wants to beat you down. The enemy wants to kick you and beat you down and bring you to a low point so that he could render you useless. So if the enemy can render you useless, guess what? You're not able to serve the body. You're not even to lift up a prayer because the enemy has muzzled you. And he wants to muzzle people. He wants to make you feel like this and make you feel like that. And say, man. And then you're going to start thinking, I'm useless today. No, you're not. That's a lie from the pimp. God wants to use you every day. Because tomorrow's not here yet. And yesterday's gone. So he wants to use you today. Amen? So let's move on to verse 12 of Romans chapter 12. And it goes on. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. What? Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Patient in tribulation? How does that happen? Through God? Through God's grace? Did you ever thought that you would be patient in tribulation? Some of us get what do you call it? Anxiety,
anxious,
yeah. Some of us like, what do I do? What are we going to do? And not even think right. Because the enemy comes to try to throw you off from the call of God in your life. Oh, yes, he does. The enemy is ruthless. Can I get an amen? He's ruthless. He doesn't care. He wants to get you to that point. If it was up to him, he'd love to scatter the sheep in every church. Have them all running. And so, this means that we should look forward with happy anticipation to all that God is planning for us. Look what I found in Philippians, because this correlates with this verse of scripture. It parallels with it. In Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord what? Sometimes? Just when I got money in my pocket? Oh, I'm going to rejoice today. I got the day off. I can relax today. Oh, I'm going to rejoice today. Maybe my spouse is not hammering at me today. Oh, come on. I've had so many counseling sessions. Oh, come on. No. It says rejoice in the Lord always. Despite of your situation, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. See, he makes an emphasis here, and then he puts a period on it, and then he really magnifies it. Again, he says, he wants you to be reminded. Again, I will say rejoice. Look at this. Let your gentleness be known to all men. That means to everyone. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. The Lord sees everything we do. Did you know that whatever you do in private, he's sitting right next to you? So don't think that you're, I'm all by myself. No one sees this. No, he's right there. And he's probably convicting you if you're doing something that's not of God. Look at this. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious. There you go. For nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be what? Made known to God. Let God know what you're going through. Let God know what you need. Let God know, how can I pray for my brother? How can I pray for my sister? Oh God, give me wisdom and knowledge. Give me understanding from your word that I may minister the things of God. And look at this in verse 7. And the peace of God. See, if you do all that, now he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, by operating in that mode, it will guard your heart. Look at this. It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. So that's our force shield. That's our shield around our heart. That if we operate with goodness and love, with a pure heart, and we love one another and build each other up, guess what you're not allowing in? Negativity to come in. You're not allowing the enemy to set camp in your heart. You're not allowing the things that are taking place that day to affect you. Why? Because inside of that wall is the peace of God, the love of God, the grace of God, knowing that he's with you. Hallelujah. You see, my friends, we don't have to fear about our future. How many fear about the future? Well, I don't know, man. What if they may lay me off next week. I don't know. Who cares what happens? God is with us. If you are rock solid in your faith, come what may, knowing that God will take us home soon, we should anticipate something that's better from this life is coming for us. It's coming to us. And it's coming for us. Praise God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You see, Christ is the reason that you and I can be joyful. Because he went to the cross for us. Did you know he was the only one that could take away our sin? He's the only one that said, they're not going to hell. They're not going to slip into the lake of fire. I have rescued them from that horrible place. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Oh, that's right. So now we are heaven bound and a hell to shun by the grace of God. And so, saints of God, when we face trouble or persecution, we are told in Scripture we are to be patient. For we know that God is in total control. If we know he's in control, guess what, God? You're going to work this out. We're going to work this out. When we heard about our brother's passing, I hit the group, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to what? His riches and glory. God works out everything in our life. He knows every detail of it. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. And a trademark of believers, you know what that trademark? When I look at you, when you look at me, you know what the trademark is for us believers? Is that we're men and women of prayer. We know how to pray. The trademark of a Christian, a born-again believer, knows how to pray. Can I get an amen? We know how. Hallelujah. To get into that place where now we can, the Holy of Holies. We can now go to the throne room of grace by faith and sit right next to Jesus in the Spirit and let God just, we'll be in His presence. See, the unbeliever don't know how to pray. The unbeliever to have no communication with God. They have no desire. They don't wake up thinking about God. They go to bed not thinking about God. They won't come to a Bible study tonight, like tonight. They won't come to a Sunday morning. You know that. It's all about me. It's all about the world. They have no inclination who God is. But we do. Because we're men and women of faith. And we know how to pray. That's what separates us. It doesn't make us better than them. It just makes us identify with each other who we are in Christ. It's our trademark. God put that upon us. We didn't put that upon ourselves. He put that upon us. And so we always must be prayerful, both individually and corporately as a church. Amen? So let's move on now to verse 13 of Romans chapter 12. And it reads, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. You know, I must admit, there's many of you here that attend Amazing Grace. They have a hospitable spirit, meaning they're givers. They love God. They love His people. They love when they greet you, praise the Lord. We always embrace one another with a hug. Hallelujah. We never walk in and just give someone a dirty look. Oh. He's here. She's here. Come on.
We've seen it before.
We have seen that before. But God is telling us tonight not to roll like that. There's no place like that in the kingdom of God. There's no place like that to operate. And I'll tell you, the toughest place to be Christ-like is at home. Your own home. It's tough. Because some of us still have unbelieving kids at home. Or relatives at home. We do. It's tough to live that sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Christian. But guess what? God is saying, put that love on. You know why? Because your love is what's going to draw them to the cross.
That's right.
It's going to be your love. Demonstrated to them. Despite of themselves. Despite of their negativity. Despite of their backlashing and even getting in your grill. Turn the cheek like Jesus. Okay. It hurts. You know what? You want to say, what's up? What are you talking about? This is my home. And we want to be there. We want to get you. Listen, now Satan's setting you up for the trap. But if you do it like Christ, you're going to win them to God. So when they start backlashing or giving negativity, you know, say, time out. Come here. Somebody needs a hug today. Go hug them. You'll freak them out. Yeah, so I'm not going to, you know what? I don't have time. I don't have time to be angry. You know what? Because Jesus is coming soon. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to be with them? I do. So we must always be prayerful, right? Distributing the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. You see, saints of God, believers, and the challenges of the Christian life are constantly shifting between what we experience personally and what we experience because we're part of the body of Christ, and the enemy wants to set up traps for you. There's booby traps every day for us. So we're going to fall into that booby trap. It's almost like this. You know, hey, it's hunting time. It's hunting season. We're going to go out there and see if we can get a deer. But maybe someone put a booby trap out there for a bear that you didn't see. And you stepped into one of those clank. Ow. There goes your whole ankle almost. Right? That's a booby trap. You didn't see it. And it's painful, isn't it? Well, there's painful things throughout a day that could happen where the enemy wants to booby trap you. And so, how are we to respond? Negatively? Because God is dealing here is more with relational here. What we're looking at is relating to one another. That's the booby traps that the enemy wants to do. Pit yourselves against that person and see the ugly. You want to bring that ugly out. They want to bring the ugly out of you. Don't show them your ugliness. Let it. You know what you want to show them? That God has covered my ugliness. God has covered it in His love, so it has no room to come out. Because all of us can get ugly. We can all get ugly like this. Boom. Because we still live in this sinful body. We can get teed off right real quickly. And if you're still young in age, let's take it outside. Oh, come on, we've been there, right? But God said, there's another way to handle this. If you handle it through my love, yeah, you're going to win them to me.
That's right.
You're going to win them to me. You see, gifts, love, hope, patience, and prayer are valuable, but they do not take precedence over other believers' needs. What they need is sometimes is more valuable, and they need just to show that you care for them. And when you show them that they see that you care for them, they'll have a paradigm change. You know what that means? That means their whole outlook of you will change and say, you know what? Why am I mad at him? Why am I mad at her? You'll start changing their heart because it'll be like what Jesus says. When you are loving your enemy, it's like pouring hot coals on their head. And they start to melt and they don't get it, man. They don't get it. They just know that, man. Then they start learning to love you back.
Amen.
See, God's way works, doesn't it? Look what Acts 2:44, I found this. Now, all who believed were together and had all things what? In common. So when they got saved, all things were in common. Learning to love God. Sharing with one another, believing God for one another, ministering to one another, laying hands, they all had it in common. There was nothing strange in the body of Christ where it was not common to them. They learned to grow together. And 2,000 years later, we should learn the same ministering principles and how we entreat one another in the time that we live in. Look what I found in Acts 44 through 45. Look at this. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had what? Need. And look at this. And Acts 4:34. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed it to each other as those who had need. Today, in the time that we live in, and God has raised us up to be the saints of God, to be the voice of the Holy Spirit. What we need to show people wherever we go, on the job, at home, in church, is more precious than fine gold, and that is the love of God.
Amen.
The love of Christ. With that, now you're starting to build treasures in heaven. God is building treasures in heaven for you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at verse 36. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Wow. See, They saw the need at that time. What's the need in your brother's life? What's the need in your sister's life? And it don't have to be monetary. You know what? It could be a word of encouragement. It could be, you know what? I'm going to love you despite of yourself. I'm going to love you unconditionally. And it's not about picking and choosing who we love. We're to love all. We just read it. We are to what? Love all one another, huh? Thank you, God. And so, saints, to get into the habit of loving each other, guess what? We learn that when we get together in the unity of the faith. And then it should springboard out of here. It should springboard out of here and then demonstrate it to the people that I will never meet and the people that I know that you will never meet. It's our sphere of influence. Yeah. Two people that I met for the first time were your employers. I met them for the first time, Sunday.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Is it Bill and Faith? Is that who they were?
Joe and Faith. Yeah.
Joe and Faith, wonderful. They were so kind, mm-hmm. so warm. Now I know why.
Yeah.
You've been there so long, because they love you too.
Yeah.
They love you too. And just to get to know them and to know what he's gone through. And I don't know if they know God.
Yeah, they do. She lets me pray.
Look at that.
In a field where we can't even discuss Jesus.
Jesus, look at that. You see, that's the love of God. See, that's all divinely already planned out for their lives, your life, mm-hmm. and those that work for them.
Yeah.
What a blessing. See, that's only God can do those things. Mm-hmm. Only He can put together divine purposes for your life. It's all planned out by Him. And all we have to do is walk in faith.
That's right.
We walk by faith and not by sight. And to get into this habit is, once again, learning the principles of the Word of God. Amen? So, we're going to move on to verse 14. Oh, wait. Look at this. I forgot this in Acts 11:27. Let's read this, because I put this down for us. In Acts 11:27, it reads, "And in these days..." Look at this. "Prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius what? Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to their brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Did you catch that? They saw that there was a need. There was a prophetic word. And there was a need that was coming. And guess what? They made sure that the saints were taken care of. Wow. What a blessing. And we should have that same mindfulness of that. The same mind of Christ. Did you know that we are, our doctrine is built upon the foundation of the apostles and their disciples? And who's the chief cornerstone? Jesus. Jesus. But we're built upon the apostles' doctrine. This is why we don't baptize in titles. We don't baptize in the Trinitarian doctrine. We baptize like the book of Acts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's how they baptized. Amen. And he commanded them in the book of Acts. Before he left. He says, "And I command you." And so they received the commandment. And where did, in the whole book of Acts. They all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You find that in Acts chapter 2 verse 38, 39. You find it in Acts 8. You find it in Acts 9. You find it in even, I believe it's Acts 21, I believe, when Paul was traveling in the upper coast in Ephesus, he came to certain disciples. He said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They said, "We've not even heard there is a Holy Ghost." He goes, "Then what? Then were you baptized?" They said, "We were baptized under the baptism of John Or yeah, John the Baptist. He goes, well, guess what? You need to be rebaptized in the name of the Lord. And he rebaptized them in Jesus' name. And he said, and then the Bible said he laid hands on them and the Holy Ghost fell on them. Woo! See, because they did it God's way. If you, when you do it the way the Bible says to do it, you cannot fail. God will not fail you. Can I get amen? And so, I truly believe, and this is only the grace of God. I boast in Christ, and we don't boast in ourselves because there's nothing to boast about because we all needed Him in our life, and then He saved us, and so now we've been adopted and grafted in to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our home here, we've been living here for 27 years. You don't see a church sign on the door. You don't see a cross on the roof, but yet God brought souls here to be baptized in Jesus' name. Because he does it with His Spirit. Yes. He does it by the power of the Holy Spirit. He touches your life, and you guess what? You tell somebody, and here they come. It's the anointing of God, the power of God. Thank you, Lord. And so their needs, whether for a place to stay, nourishing food, a listening ear, or acceptance, were the primary concern of the apostles back then and should be the primary concern of the church today. Hospitality can be it could be sometimes tough, but let it come from the heart with pure and gladness and joy. And watch God do the rest. He will bless your day. Amen? So let's move on to verse 14 in Romans chapter 12. Look at this. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Okay, so I touched on this just moments ago. But this one's tough, isn't it? You ever had somebody in your own family get in your grill? You don't have to tell me who they are. You ever had someone in your own family curse you out? Someone on the job?
Yeah.
Get mad and just stepped on you in a way like you wanted to knock their lights out? Oh, come on. We've been there, done there, huh?
Yeah.
But God has a better way to handle them. It's right there. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse back. Meaning, you know what? Let them ramble their mouth. Because all it is just talk. Let them be exhausted. And then after they're done, look in their eyes and say, you know what? I still love you, man. How can I help you grow? How can I get you to get past this? To help you in your life. They'll look at you different. They'll look at you differently. You know, because Paul, when he gets to this verse of Scripture, he broadens his perspective to the world where the believers live. In this case, the whole Roman Empire was an enemy to God. Can I get an amen? Rome was an enemy to the cross. They crucified him. They were there at the crucifixion. But yet he went back to Rome and wrote the book of Romans. Look at this. He went back to the place where these people crucified him. The Roman soldiers that were there where Jesus was crucified. He went back to preach to them. You know why? Because he saw that God wanted to save them too. Remember what Jesus said? What did Jesus say on the cross? He didn't say too many things on the cross, but one of the things that stands out to me is when all the disciples that didn't run away that were there, his own mom, the Roman soldiers, and the Pharisees and Sadducees were all there. And what did he say? What came out of his mouth? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Next time, remember that when someone gets in your grill. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they say or do.
That's right.
Just forgive them, God. Because they're not mad at me. They're mad at you. They're at war with you. They're not at war with me. Because they know what I'm about. People in your life should know what you're all about. Can I get amen? You're about being a man of God and a woman of God. And if they know that with all their heart, a lot of them, I remember it on my job when I used to have a real estate office in National City. Well, it wasn't mine, but I worked there. But when I would walk in, they knew. Yeah. And if a curse word slipped out, oh, excuse my French. I turned around. I said, I didn't know only the French cursed. You know, I did it in a facetious way, but you know. Look what Jesus says. If you're gonna believe anyone, don't believe Pastor Fee up here telling you this. Believe the word of God that's written. Because in Matthew 5:44, look at this. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute. There might be people that use you and use you for your home, for your goods, for your food, for clothes on your back, for money, for whatever. They will use you, and then they will spitefully use you and persecute you. And what did Jesus say? Just get even. Knock them out. No, he don't say that, does he? He says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute. Let me ask this question. Throughout your whole life, maybe presently, I don't know, but is there people ever in your life that has spitefully used you? Till this day. Huh? Till this day. So this lets us know we still live in this fallen world. We still live in a world that God has not transformed totally yet. There's going to be unbelievers or people that just are all about themselves. They don't care about you and your feelings or nobody else but themselves. God says, be good to those. I know it's tough. I know this is a hard pill to chew on. But when you practice this, watch them change right before you. And then, guess what? They'll want to do the things you're asking them to do. Because they'll learn to love. They'll learn to love you like you love God. Look what Peter wrote. He wrote this in 1 Peter 3:9. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. How many want to inherit that blessing? Well, guess what? Be a blessing to somebody else. That's what this says. Here, not returning evil for evil. Someone curses you out. I've been cursed out before. But they've cursed you out because you're being good. You're a good person in Christ. Let it hit you and slip off you like Teflon. You ever seen a Teflon pan? You put an egg in it and it slips right off? Well, let whatever they're saying to you slip off no differently. Like Teflon. Have Teflon faith. Let it slip off you. And it'll be good for you. Look at this. Not returning evil for evil or reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit what? A blessing. God has a blessing in store for you and I. Praise God. Praise God. And so we look at our last verse of Scripture for the evening, and it's found in verse 15 of chapter 12, and it reads, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We know dear friends of ours today. I don't have to mention their name. They're weeping right now. And so we weep with them. We mourn with them. We cry with them. And let them reach out to you. They'll know when it's time to reach out to it. So, you know, when it's time to be reached out. You have to learn, like we prayed for tonight. Give people their space. Let them mourn. Let them weep. Let them cry. Because they know we love them. Can I get an amen? They know we love them. And we were there for them. And so let God have His perfect way. You see, my friends, Christians should be happy with others with no hint of jealousy. They should share the sorrow of fellow believers, offering kindness, concern, compassion, and a shoulder to cry on if needed. Because some people, they need a shoulder that they can cry on and let their feelings be entrusted to you. They can trust you to share their deep concerns. The believers needed to have this as they dealt with the ups and downs of daily life in their surroundings. Well, God is saying the same thing to us, because I found this to correlate with verse 15 in 2 Corinthians. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Look at what it reads. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to what? Comfort those who are in any trouble. That's what God is asking us to do, is comfort them. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So if God has comforted us, we need to comfort others. Amen? For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and we're going to suffer things in life, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. So we need to share that same concern for one another as they go through. Be a comfort. Be a joy in their life. Lift them up. Don't point out negative things in their life. They don't need to hear that. They need to know that they're loved by God. Following Jesus will mean that believers will pass through a kaleidoscope of experiences in life. How many of you have had a roller coaster life so far? Well, guess what? The ride's not over yet. I've been on some long roller coasters. And some of them, they plateau out, and then here comes another one that goes, takes you upside down. Woo! And then picks up steam, and it keeps going. And then it finds another loop. Well, guess what? That's our life. We go through those in seasons that we cannot even think that would happen that day, and it happens. You see, Jesus, following Jesus will mean that believers will pass through, like I said, many types of experience of life. Christianity, saints of God, is neither denying life's hardships nor dulling life's excitements. No. God wants us to enjoy this life. How many of you have enjoyed moments of enjoyment? Yeah, all of us. He don't want you to be bum, 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 bum every day. He wants you to enjoy the life He's given us. Brother, was it you that we were talking earlier today, how God made this world perfect? Yeah. It was me and you talking. And that we could go step outside in the daytime and look at the atmosphere, look at the birds, look at the cloud, look at the air we breathe. Look at, He made everything so perfect for us. And it's like we're in a bubble. Remember we talked about it? We're in a bubble all by ourselves in this whole universe. There's no other planet like ours. So He created this planet specifically for us human beings. His highest created form of beings. The animals and the plants, everything is secondary, third, and all that. We are the highest created beings. And then, when we failed Him, He came He came down to be like one of us, to die for our sins, to redeem us back. Wow. We serve a mighty God. He always makes a way of escape for us. I hope you know that. That's how much He loves us. That's how much we're loved by Him. Thank you, God. Our perspective of eternity in Christ can free you and I when we think, when we ponder that. We were pondering that today, that we're here in this shell temporarily, and yet the glory which God has prepared for us is mind-blowing. It is beyond our comprehension. How many can't wait for that day to come? Because it's going to come sooner than later. Because the Bible is clear in the book of Hebrews. It is appointed once to die and then the judgment. And so for us, we've been judged at the cross. For the unbeliever, pray for them. There's no passing jail no more. It's not a game of Monopoly for them no more. It becomes the real deal. Each has an important place in representing our feelings as believers, saints of God. And I end with this scripture and we'll pray. This is what God admonishes us when we read verse 15. It's found in Thessalonians 5:13. Look at this. It says it right here. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. When's the last time you said, you know, you're doing a wonderful job? You know, we made our day last Sunday when little Brooklyn was our usher. She was greeting people at the door and she was giving out the calendars. And we told her, you did such a great job. And she was so delightful. It's like we made her day. You know, she felt very important that we lifted her up.
Amen.
And so I told Yolanda, I said, call Marisa. We want her to usher again next Sunday. But we should hold each other highly in love for their work's sake. Look, be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Rejoice. God is saying to rejoice always. And so that concludes our study for this evening. And we'll continue verse 16 of Romans chapter 12 next week. But, you know, for those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube, maybe it's your first or second time. I don't know. Maybe you stumbled onto us and you're listening right now. And guess what? Maybe this is your opportunity to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and to give your heart to God. Well, guess what? That is our. If we have an agenda, it's to reach you for the cause of Christ, so that Jesus would be high and lifted up, and that you could have that opportunity like we had that opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if that is you, say this simple prayer. Ask, invite them in. And then after you pray, you see the banner below. You can reach out to us right through our website. Our phone number's on there. Our email's on there. We'll even send you a Bible. How's that? Free of charge. We'll give you a Bible so that you can grow in your faith. So if that's you, bend your head and your heart down and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me. for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We can't get enough.